Hello and welcome to episode 48 of Nintendo Podcast System. I am one of the hosts. I am Jack Gorn. Hello, how are you doing? And I'm here with Sam Spade himself.
Hello, peoples. I am Bax.
He returns, but unfortunately we have lost Matt again.
God damn you, Matt. I returned and you're gone already.
I think it's something you've done. It's obviously like, what did you do to him?
He's such a special snowflake. I can't help that.
Wow. Cool. unfortunately, for Matt, it's sort of exam season for uni students, so he's sort of busy studying and stuff at the moment, so he can't make today's episode.
He's trying to be a clever boy.
He's trying his hardest to be a clever boy. Welcome to Nintendo Podcast System, everyone. It's nice to be back. Hello. Hello, listeners. Hope you've had a lovely Christmas and New Year. I hope you got all the games.
Welcome to 2018.
Yep, welcome to 2018. I hope you got all the games you wanted for Christmas. And if you didn't, I hope you got lots of vouchers to buy the games you wanted for Christmas. That's what I did. I didn't get any games for Christmas. Because I literally bought everything I wanted anyway. So I just got lots of vouchers to buy.
Yeah, I did the same.
How was your Christmas, Sam? Did you do anything interesting for Christmas?
Oh, the usual kind of stuff. Family togetherness, presents. We went out for a Christmas dinner, and just the usual family bickerings and squabbles as it always is.
Oh, isn't that every family get together though? Especially for Christmas, there's always a fight at some point.
With a Christmas, you're all clustered together and you can't escape, but it's just
I had a nice Christmas. I was with Kat and her family for Christmas, with the dog and her mum, and sort of just had a nice chilled out one. I got her a couple of games for Switch, so I think she was quite happy. And I got a Fractured But Whole for the South Park game as well.
Nice.
Yeah, we've been playing through that for the last couple of weeks, and that's really good. I would highly recommend that if you've got an Xbox or PS4 to pick that up.
They released Ukami HD. They remastered a bit for. It's really good. They've really sharpened it up, and it's beautiful. It's an absolutely beautiful game.
I never played the original. I was on the Wii before as well, wasn't it?
It was on the Wii as a remaster, but that was that era. And it was on the PS2 originally.
Oh, so like a remaster then.
Yeah, but this is a HD remaster. It's beautiful. It's a lovely game.
That's probably just one of those games that deserves a HD remake just because it's the whole
thing. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah. So really good, enjoying it?
Yeah, it's good. It's a good game. I would definitely recommend it. I think it's about £17 on Steam.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, definitely, get down there and grab a deal because it's a good game.
Cool, I might do that. Did you get anything for the Switch at all, or Nintendo?
No, sadly not this year. Oh no, I did. What am I on about? Oh my god, my brother bought me Mario and the Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Ah, very good. That's the game I bought the cat as well. So
yeah, I'll be talking about that later.
Oh, interesting. I'm looking forward to it. I have bought a lot of games recently. Stardew Valley has taken over a lot of my life for the Switch.
Oh, it will do. I bought it on Steam, and then they announced the Switch port, and I was like, damn it. Oh, I could have played it on the go, but you will sink a lot of hours into it.
This is the thing. I've got a Switch. I got the Steam version, but I've never actually played it. I maybe played it for an hour or so. Never really got into it. But as soon as I've got it on the Switch, I just haven't stopped playing it.
I just find it's a game you really get involved in, lot. And there's so many different things to look out for.
I mean, you think you're just doing a bit of farming and that, but it's just so relaxing to play and just chill out and go and do a few things and do a few little tasks and stuff. I don't know why. It's just a relaxing game. Cool.
Mm.
That's an intro, I think. Is that an intro?
Yes.
I think that counts as an intro.
I'd call that an intro.
Cool.
And it kind of beautifully flows into the next section, doesn't it?
It does. Let's go to the next section.
Section. Oh, that was fast.
That was fast. That was like really fast. Blink and I missed it. So we already sort of touched on a couple of games that we've been playing. So Sam, you said you picked up Mario and Rabbids.
Yeah, my brother got me Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. I've watched a few like of the review videos, not review, but like. Just like highlights of it and stuff. I'm quite enjoying it. It's very, it really makes you think, and it's very tactical. I mean, for those who haven't played it, basically, the rabbits are teleported into a really inventor's room, and they start mucking about and causing chaos, and then they set off this special headset that that basically merges things, like it'll merge items together, and then like real chaos ensues, and the guild will then get teleported into the Mushroom Kingdom, and then more chaos ensues, and one of the rabbits gets merged with the helmet and starts running around accidentally merging things and enemies with more rabbits, and it gets crazy, and Mario has to go with a Peach Rabbit and Luigi Rabbit to go and deal with all the chaos.
Right, okay.
And it's a good game. It's very tactical. I quite enjoy it. You have to go around and like get cover and shoot like enemies from cover and stuff, and like your cover doesn't last forever, so you gotta keep moving and using your abilities. So it's a really clever game. So I can see why.
What's the arenas like when you're in the actual fighting areas? What's it actually like in a battlefield?
I mean, you have like worlds, and there's like separate sections, and they'll have like blocks, like coin blocks, and then there's like terrain type damage ones as well. I mean, it some get a bit samey, but like they at least change like the layout of how it's done, and then like they'll start involving like pipes and like I said, like the ones that will explode on impact blocks, and there's all sorts of different types, so it's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yes, it's very good. And then I've.
What's like story wise? Is it have you got how far through have you got through the game so far?
I kind of sort of been on and off because I've got like so many different things to play, but I've already found Luigi, so I was like, yes,
you
sniper.
You do find the actual characters from Mario as well as the rabbits as well. So,
yeah, there's. I think there's Mario, Luigi, Yoshi, and Peach, and then their rabbit versions. So I guess I've only got to Luigi, so I'm not like very far, but I'm slowly progressing. I mean, Peach is back at the castle, but she joins, I think, later on in the story.
Ah, okay. Does he give you much of a tactical advantage using Luigi, or?
He's the sniper, so I actually like the whole like being able to get from a distance, because you can only shoot so far. But with Luigi, you get that extra distance, which is really handy, actually.
Nice. Sounds good. Sounds good so far. Are you going to carry on playing that anytime soon, or is it on the?
I will. I think it's one of those games where I pick it up when I want to be like. Like probably play something a bit more thought out and process.
I think that's more of a lunch break sort of game, isn't it? Because you sort of give it a quick half hour here and there. Kind of, I think it works pretty well for that.
Definitely.
Anything else you've picked up and played over the Christmas period? Or
I've gone back to games. Like there's no more like Nintendo games I've bought, but I've gone back to ARMS to play the new characters. Mm-hmm. So I played a little bit more of Lollipop. There's the new Fabric Arm guy. I can't remember his name now. Masinga or something like that. Oh, God.
I'm going to go with yes, because I don't have arms, so I don't really know a lot about it, if I'm honest.
Well, the new guy's like got fabric arms, and he's got like these masks that come on with different abilities.
Okay.
There's a robot spring man. It's just really weird.
Yes,
Like
I did see that, yeah.
he
He's
instead
like
of
a
like spring man, what happens is his ability is that instead of getting buff, like a buff damage buff for when he's at a certain amount of health, I think for the robot spring man, it is that he, if you sort of stand there and charge up, he gets like a sort of a rush mode, like a hyper mode,
Right,
so he
okay.
does like more damage and stuff, which is really weird. It's kind of like a permanent charge, which is
Yeah.
interesting.
I think you could call Miles a proper fighter now, though, because it's got like duplicate characters and things, like most like Street Fighters and things all have those sort of.
Yeah.
It's
And
all
then there's
the same character, but different.
is fairly like, I don't think there's a massive difference. There's different arms obviously, but yeah. I mean the newest character is probably the most interesting. Her name is Dr. Coil, and obviously as you can guess, her arms are coils.
Oh.
But her ability is she instead of like she'll float, so it's like a Tesla coil.
Yes, I did see that actually.
And
Yeah.
it's quite hard to control because she's very floaty. But her ability is that if you sort of charge up enough, she gets on the direction that you're dodging and charging, she gets a third arm, like that comes out of her shoulder. So you have
Oh.
an extra punch to go with.
How do you throw that punch?
Just when you throw the particular arm side that it's on, so it'll throw the extra
Oh,
punch sort of in a slight delay afterwards.
so it's like a double punch on one side kind of thing when you throw an
Yeah,
arm or okay,
it's
that's
like
interesting.
if most people would sort of like counteract and punch, but then there's that second punch that's coming in a little bit more delayed after. So it's
Yeah.
like you've really got to think on your feet when you're fighting Dr. Coil.
Ooh, that sounds like quite a difficult one to defend against. So that's an interesting extra
Yeah.
character to add.
Yeah, I think it was a really good one, and it adds to like the story and the mystery around like the arms fighters and how they get their arms and stuff, and like the evil like monster at the end of a certain difficulty of the main story.
Yeah, okay. So, does it change the gameplay as anything within ARMS? Is it make it more difficult? Is it easier? Or
Just gives it a bit more diversity, I think, more than anything. I wouldn't
yeah.
say it makes it more difficult, but I haven't really played the story hard enough to be facing off against Dr. Coyle, so I
Yeah.
will intend to when it doesn't enrage me to hell, but
Do you play it more? Do you let play it more online or?
no, I don't do online.
Don't play online.
I don't think I'd last 5 minutes online. But
Man. Cool. Anything else other than those or?
What else have I been playing? I'll carry on, keep playing like Super Mario Odyssey on occasion, trying to get all
Yes.
those moons
How
because they
far
are
along with
tricky.
that now?
About 731 moons.
Oh, getting up there then. I think I'm so about
Yeah.
600 or so, it's around there. So.
I mean, I like to do each level fully, and then obviously the cubes. Oh, sugar, that might be a spoiler. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
There's a section where more moons appear later. That's all I'll say.
Oh, yes.
But
Okay, I'm with you
that
now.
you, it's about reviewing again and kind of going back and now doing all that. And it's like having to trawl through all that to get all those ones. It's like, oh.
Have you completed many levels all the way through, like collected all the moons in any particular levels, or?
I probably haven't been checking the list. I just go for what I can see on the map and get rid of
Hmm.
every icon, but there'll probably still be ones I've missed. There's obviously like the challenges of certain ones as well.
I think there's a couple of levels I've got them 100%, but then some of the later ones are so difficult, especially on the final mission. Trying to do this without spoilers, but I think most of the people played it now, be fair, with Mario Odyssey. And I think I probably have
Yeah.
mentioned it in previous podcasts, but the darker side of the moon areas,
Yeah.
yeah, they're just so so ridiculous, some of the jumps and like small jumps and things you got to do on that that level to get through. It's I've struggled in it quite a lot, so I'm gonna give that another go soon, but we'll see.
Yeah, I've yet to face the dark and the darker side.
I would prepare yourself, because they are probably the hardest part of the game in general, I
think. Okay. Cool. I'll be ready.
So we're getting through Mario Odyssey, that's good to hear. Anything else on your list, or
The last thing I've been touching, like, it's been hit and miss, is the second DLC pack of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And, oh my god, it just makes me so angry.
Angry?
It's so, like, the first bit was just horrible and hard enough, where it was like, for those who haven't gotten it, it's kind of like an extension of the story, almost. I personally am a little disappointed so far, because it's just more shrines, more trials, more frustration. But the first part is that you get this special weapon which kills with one hit, in one hit, but you die in one hit and you can't heal.
Okay, so you can't heal at all?
Nope, you heal and it'll just take it away again. It's horrible. Oh. It's truly horrible. Once you do it, it's gone, and it's like, oh, thank God. But it is just a total frustration. I did not like that bit. And then it's just, like I say, it's a slog of different trials and things, and then you get a little bit of story around the characters, and I'm just like, I was hoping for more.
Oh, man.
And then there's a nice big spoiler at the end, which I'll not say.
I've not played it, so...
It's something to get that you can use, but it's kind of obvious because there's been a big video and stuff about it. But for those who haven't seen the video, and I don't want to spoil it, there's like a really good thing to earn at the end of it. But it's just like, oh, I kind of wanted more.
Yeah. Okay. I've not actually played the DLC for Zelda yet, so I've not any of the DLC, if that matters. So
The Master Trials.
Yeah, that is definitely something I've got to go back to do. That's on the list, I must admit. is that everything for Zelda? How far through that have you actually got now? Like, have you done everything in that game now?
I did pretty much everything in that game. Probably just maybe one or two side quests I didn't touch. But other than that, I pretty much did everything. I mean, I've got to probably do the DLC properly. But I just, like I said, I have so many games to play. This is never 5 minutes to do everything.
Do you think it deserves the game of the year?
I would probably say yes, purely because it was the story and the mystery and the wanting to progress and the wanting to try different things, I found was a little bit more in depth than Mario Odyssey. Odyssey's great, but it just feels like it's fun to explore and try the new things, but then I think with the Breath of the Wild, there was a bit more of, I don't know, there's a bit more involvement. There's a bit more of it, like, wanting to do everything to progress and start getting all these cool, like, clothes and abilities and outfits and weapons, and there's a sense of having to pace yourself, and I think that over Mario Odyssey, it felt like there was more to discover and explore. So I think it was close, but I think it probably does deserve Game of the Year over Mario Odyssey, as much as I love Mario Odyssey as well.
I think I can probably agree with you there, the way you're sort of describing it. I think the overall game of Zelda and what it's done for the whole series of future Zelda games, I think it's brilliant. How large the maps were when we first explored them, the fact you can climb on anything was just fantastic, and the fact they keep adding these extra DLC is brilliant. They keep wanting people to go back to it and keep doing more within the world. It's fantastic. But it doesn't want to sort of shy away from how great Mario Odyssey is as well, because it's probably, like, in terms of design, it's visually stunning, but it also gives you the gameplay from the previous games and basically knocks in everything they can into one big mega 3D Mario game, you know, just puts everything great into one. So
I think the only thing I'd say is it's kind of a little bit like Super Mario Sunshine in a sense, except with instead of Flood, it's Cappy.
Sorry, say that again, Sam. You just sort of in and out, phasing in and out there.
Oh, whoopsie. I was going to say, Mario Odyssey, if to me, it just kind of, it feels a little bit like Super Mario Sunshine, except with, instead of Flood, it's Cappy.
Yeah, I mean, it is very similar in that sort of style, but it also has lots of similarities to both, original Super Mario 64, Mario Galaxy. Mm. It has sort of, mainly like things like catching rabbits and things like that is sort of, that was one of those sort of main things in those two games.
Yeah.
And a lot of the last area in Odyssey is obviously linked back to previous games. Not to spoil it again. And it's just, I can't decide between the two what I would give my game of the year. I mean, any other year without those two games, I would give Sonic Mania my absolute game of the year by far. But they literally have blown every other game out of the water this year, I think, to be honest, with those two titles. I mean, even with like Splatoon has been fantastic, as the previous one was. As we mentioned, ARMS before, that was a great new release game for the Switch, and it really sold what you could do differently with compared to other games. Just like I said, they literally blend the rest of the games out of the water. So it's great. It's great to see, and I think it thoroughly deserves it.
Yeah, definitely.
One quick shout out to Infendo Radio, who actually gave Super Mario Odyssey the game of the year over Zelda after a massively long debate. So, it was really enjoyable to listen to that one. So if you listen to Infendo Radio, there's your plug. Go and listen to them. Sam, is that all your lists of games you've been playing over the period? Is there anything else?
That's pretty much everything so far. I'm eagerly awaiting the new Shovel Knight DLC.
Yes.
King Knight. Oh, the last one. Oh, I need to know.
Are
the story.
The new amiibos out for that yet, or is that still to come?
Not yet. I have eagerly got my eyes on the horizon for those.
Cool, nice one. Cool. Yes. Well, if you're done, I'm going to go through a few of the games I've been playing over the Christmas.
What have you been playing, Monsieur Gorney?
So, as first mentioned, Stardew Valley, which was just basically farming sim in the same sort of Harvest Moon sort of similarity kind of thing.
I think it offers a little bit more than Harvest Moon. Yeah, I love the game.
It gives you that more, there's more freedom in Harvest Moon. I mean, not Harvest Moon, sorry, in Stardew Valley. That the fact you can sort of go and do whatever you want for the amount of hours that are in the day.
What sorts of things have you discovered that you can do so far?
When I first started, I literally just you basically get on to this first weird intro where you're working in an office, and then suddenly you take over your granddad's farm or something. Really weird. Anyway, you go to this farm, and it's basically just a desert area with a few trees and overgrowth all over the place, and you just like, yeah, you go, there's your farm, do what you want with it. Which is okay, that's good, but how? You get a few items to sort of help you out. You can go and walk around the town and sort of talk to people and get them to become friends. And you can get relationships with some of the ladies and resume some of the men as well. I don't know. There's a few areas you could go to. There's a little town which has got all the people in. You've got lots of useful things there, like a blacksmith sort of guy who you can go to him to buy items like mining items and tools. You can also process geodes in there.
Yes, you can.
And you can you get extra minerals and other things you can use for other recipes for use the things on your farm. You get like bits of copper and iron early on, and then you get like really weird minerals later on in the game for different things again. you can do all that. There's like a floor of adventuring kind of thing where you just go mining and do all this sort of thing in the corner. There's a fishing port where you can go and do some fishing. You can, if you go around your farm area, collect as much like wood and stone. You can build bridges within the town to go to other areas which are currently hidden until later on in the game. And it's overall, it's just quite a charming, nice experience, and it is really, really relaxing to sort of just chill out and just have an hour on Stardew or whatever. And or by the time you look at it again, you've gone through a whole season in the game because it's literally based on you go day by day, and you start with you start in the spring, and you think you get 28 days, I think it is, for each season, something around there, 29 days.
Yeah, something around that.
Something around there. And each season you can grow different plants and vegetables and things, and you can also collect different items and things they use in other areas of the town. Overall though, I think it's just been a real nice calming game to play over the Christmas period.
Is a really chill game. It is probably one of my favorite like games to chill with, because you get so lost in the world and the people and everything. It's just like you go, oh look, I discovered this, and oh, like there's just so much. I do absolutely love Stardew Valley. I think it was one of my really big games when it was released, just purely because it's just one of those games you can get so lost in. And you're like, oh my God, it's been like however many hours, because you've been trying to focus on like building your farm or exploring the mines
That's
or
it, yeah.
just doing anything really. So
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I've just got a new building with chickens in. And I was like,
Oh
oh,
yeah.
what can I do with chickens? And then, no, oh, eggs. So loads of eggs keep appearing, and I keep collecting them all. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, you can build this machine here, and it makes mayonnaise. I'm like, oh, okay then. So what do I need to make this mayonnaise machine? And it says, oh, you need so many copper, or you need whatever materials you need. So it might take you a couple of days to get some of the materials that you need to build this item, to then get the extra item you need to for maybe put for another recipe or for another better item in the future, or something else that you can sell to get more coins to buy an upgrade for your house. It's literally, you can do whatever you want in whatever order you want to do it, and it's, I think that freedom in the game is just, it makes it so much fun to play, especially in a sort of casual. I'll have a quick hour here, a quick hour there on it. I've also played quite a lot of it while Kat's been watching TV around with her mum, or if she's playing games on the main TV. I'll stick my Switch on and do some farming on there. But yeah, it's just one of those you can sort of come back to again and again and not really have any problem with it. It's not one of those like you need to know what you're doing at that point to go through to the next stage kind of thing. You can do it whatever order you want and whenever you want.
You
So
play it how you want to play it. That's the beauty of it.
that's it. You get one option near the start whether to go to this. There's an extra building on in the town, and it you can either destroy it and build this Coke thing, not Coke thing, it's like a big retail shop thing. I can't remember what the retail shop is called, but I think it's basically this big company that wants to take over the town and just turn it into a shopping mall, basically, or whatever.
Jojima, I
That's
believe,
it,
isn't
whatever
it?
they're called. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you've got two options there. You can either allow them to take over this extra building, and then you just basically buy all the achievements in it, kind of thing. But you don't get the extra abilities and things as you unlock. Whereas when you leave it as it is, you can go in and each there's like five, six different areas where you can send items to it
Yeah.
to unlock extra abilities and extra items. And I don't know what the overall thing of that will do at the end, but it's so far it's been quite fun to find all the hidden items and the better items to use in that area. It's an extra achievement sort of hunter sort of thing to get this whole area complete. So that does sort of give you that extra want to play the game and want to do something in it, so rather than just keep farming chickens the whole time. So but yeah, overall Stardew Valley is pretty good on the Switch. I think it works a lot better on the Switch than PC personally. I think I've played a lot more of it on there, definitely. So yeah, highly recommend it if you've not picked it up yet.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it to people. Buy it, get it.
Buy it. As I mentioned in previous episode, when I was with Matt, I've been playing through a lot of LA Noir, whatever you call it.
Noir.
I've nearly completed that now. I've played it before. It is a nice game to have on the Switch. Again, you can play it wherever. It's nice to do an episode while I'm at work on my lunch break, obviously. Yeah, it's one of those sort of. It's nice to pick it up again, like you were saying with Okami earlier with the HD remix. It was nice to play this again in a different perspective, I think. It's weird having a Rockstar game on a Switch, on a portable console, though, and I think it works really well. It gives lots of interesting parts to the rumours of games like Grand Theft Auto possibly coming to the Switch. It's very heavily rumoured at the moment, so we'll see what happens there. But I've also been playing a couple of other games. We've been playing a bit of Minecraft recently because with Sai from Regen Norwich. He's been opening the server. Yeah, he's been opening the server for everyone to come and join. Everyone's free to join it, whenever he's on. We did one server before, and we built a whole little village of everything, and it was really fun to do. And we hadn't been on for a while, so we started a second server, and so far I think I've built a gazebo, and that's about it. But it's been quite funny just to basically troll Sai the whole time. He's now changed his character to a rabbit. So every time he puts his Switch in the dock so everyone else can still play online to join his server, I've been trolling him by putting his rabbit character around a load of fences around him and leaving little notes on there saying do not feed the rabbit and things like that. And it's like, just to wind him up. So if you ever get a chance to go on Sai's server, please troll him. I picked up Jackbox Party Pack 4 on New Year's Eve.
Nice.
Me and Kat went round to Adam and his family's, Adam from Nintendo Portsmouth, we went round to his family's for New Year's Eve, and we ended up playing a lot of Jackbox Party Pack on there. There's one of my favourite games from, I don't know if you've ever played any of the Jackbox games, Sam. Know what they are.
I've played a couple. It can be very weird and funny at the same time.
Just to explain it to anyone who's not played it, basically it's a game you load up on. It's on all the consoles now, and also I believe it's on PC and Steam as well. But you load it up and you start it up on the Switch or the console, and then you use your mobile as a controller to sort of log into a server. And then you can all play together using the code from whatever the games you're playing to log into the phone, and you can all play together on there. I think some of the games you can do, they're like 1 to 8 players. Some of them go even further than that you can do 1 to 100 players, but loads of you are in. It's great for streaming, just to let you know if anyone's into streaming. But you can have like 1 to 8 players on the main screen, and then have like a 9th player, which is the audience. And whoever's left over basically joins the audience, and you can have an impact on some of the games as well. So if you've got lots of people playing, it's a really good party game, really good fun. One of the games on this new one, there's a game called Monster Dating Monster, and you basically it's like a board game mechanics. Like you've got certain characters have got certain abilities throughout the game, but no one knows who you are until you start dating them, kind of thing. So you basically got to choose one person to date every round, and if you choose them and they choose you, you both get a point. They both get a heart. If someone else gets rejected, though, they could lose points. So it's all done on that, but you've also got hidden things within, because everyone's a monster. Say, for instance, one could be a zombie. And your objective is to date as many people as possible to infect the zombie virus to everyone. And the zombie wins by infecting everyone. So everyone's got their own agenda to it, but at the same time, you want to try and get as many points as possible, so making sure you are dating the right people and things. So, and every round, whoever's in first place for five, it's five rounds of this game. Whoever's in first place, you get to reveal what monster you are, so people will start changing tactics and whether they want to date you or not, or if they remember, this kind of thing. So it's very cool. It's a very cool game. It's very interesting. It's probably one of the best ones on that party pack game. You got games like Fibbage, which is, I believe, is on all of the games, all of the Jackbox games, which is basically just, it gives you a load of, it gives you a question with a blank in it, and you've got to fill the blank and try and make it a really, basically a fib. You're telling a fib, like that is the wrong answer, but you're trying to get the other players to choose that answer. So you can be very creative with how you do it, and there's lots of swear words that normally pop up when you're not playing with children, obviously. So, which can be a bit of
a sweary merry game. So,
like I said, it's great for party nights, and if you have a few friends around, a few drinks, it's a great laugh. I highly recommend picking them up. They're only about they sort of range from like 15 to 20 quid for each pack, and you get like four or five games in each pack, so it's not too bad. I think that there is another game called TKO in number three, which is you design a T-shirt and you go one-on-one against people for these T-shirt designs, and people vote for the best one. But the best thing about it, that game, is you design the shirt, and at the end, if you really wanted to, you can buy your own shirt design for them to be made and sent to you for like 25 quid or something like that. So it's crazy. You can make your own T-shirts from a game. It's like mental. Other than that, I've been literally rushing my way through Picross S to try and finish the mega Picross in there. I know, it's ridiculous. I've done nearly everything. I've got like four left to do, and I'm going to finish them tonight after the podcast. So it's kind of annoying. I've been going through all that. Mario Odyssey, still playing. Still trying to get as many moons as possible on there. There's a lot of the hidden ones I've sort of coming across now. Lots of little tasks that I missed that I've come back in to find. It's one of those, I think it's now got a bit too much. I'm just ticking boxes rather than playing the game. I think it's the problem after the completion part of it. I don't think I'm enjoying it as much as I was when I first started it. That's the problem. It's still a fantastic game, don't get me wrong. And I loved it from start to finish, the story sections. But now it just seems like I've done everything now. I need to do something else. That's the problem with it. I've said it every podcast episode for like the last 6-7 podcast episodes, but I still need to play Zelda. I still need to go back to it and start playing and get in the right mood to play it.
I think it's one of those games you really have to get into, and it's purely just that game. But hey ho.
I also did pick up Rocket League just before Christmas. I've been playing a bit of that, not recently.
I was going to say, God, Rocket League. The many joys and frustrations of... I've tried to play that game. I've tried. Well, I really can't score any goals.
Well, my friend Smithy's quite a big Rocket League player on the Xbox. And I downloaded it to go around to his house. And I can play it on my Switch and join his game and play against him while he's on the Xbox at the same time. So in the same room. But it's quite interesting playing it with a cross-play. I hope that there's more games that use this in the future. I know Minecraft there's some sort of update supposed to be coming for Minecraft, so you can play between Xbox, Switch, and...
Eventually,
Hopefully when that comes out, there'll be a bit more to do in Minecraft. At the moment, it still seems a bit like it's a bit smaller than the PC version, and it's missing something, that kind of thing. But hopefully, with a few more things open up and more people to play with, it'd be a bit more interesting to play. But I think that's pretty much sort of gone through everything. We played 1-2 Switch at New Year's Eve with a load of people who haven't played it before, so that was quite funny to try and teach... a four-year-old, I think it's a four-year-old, and a nine-year-old how to play some of the games on 1-2 Switch. I like the gorilla game, which is quite tough to understand at first. And
that one's a bit weird.
Yeah, but there's a few funny moments when playing 1-2 Switch. And I still see comments like people saying, like, it's not even a game, I don't know why people buy it. Well, Okay, you have a party or something. It's still a good laugh to watch people struggle with it who've never played it before. It's still good fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Other than that, there's one more. Two more technically. There's two pinball games on the Switch now, which you can download for free. They're not too bad. One called Pinball FX Free, and you get two free tables on that to play. You've got to download. Mm-hmm. I think you've got to download one of them extra, but it's a free DLC sort of pack thing. That's quite fun for like a good, another quick go. And there's another one called Stern Pinball Arcade, which has got one extra table on it. I think you can buy more tables to play through DLC packs and things like that.
Microtransactions.
that's the problem. But I think there are some interesting ones in there, because there's like Family Guy, like tables and like sort of theme, lots of themed tables like that. So if you're into that sort of thing, maybe you'd enjoy it. I think it's a nice, interesting sort of thing they've added to that. It looks quite nice on the TV as well. Not so much so in the handheld mode, but yeah, pretty fun. Sam, have you played anything of the new mode in Splatoon? Just out of curiosity.
No, I actually haven't touched Splatoon, unfortunately, for quite some time. Like I said, so many games, and just Splatoon's kind of fallen off my radar a bit, to be honest.
I'm the same, if I'm honest. I've not really played a lot of Splatoon. Kat still loves it. She still plays it pretty much every day.
I think it's just for me, it's because it didn't, like, the new weapons and supers were cool, but it just didn't really offer what I felt was more than what I was hoping for.
Yeah, definitely.
So it just felt it's just basically Splatoon 1, but just revamped with weapons and stuff. So I'm just a bit like, oh, okay. I mean, I'd like the salmon run thing. I just wish they'd sort out and just make it play all the time, because
it is frustrating, I must admit, because the salmon run is really good on there. And
it's such good fun.
Yeah, that's it.
So I'm just like, never mind then.
But apparently that's something we do with clamshells is the new mode. I've not really played it myself, if I'm honest. So we're literally talking about something neither of us have played. So I can't really say
anything about
that. But I'll tell you what, I'll play it before next episode, and then I'll run everyone through it, and we'll see if it's any good.
Have a look as well at some point.
Yeah, cool. Is there anything like over the last year or so which you think hasn't really got its like recognition on the Switch that other people should pick up and give a go? Is there anything?
If we are, I think this is probably going to really sort of a new section, which is like a kind of really like a review of 2017, really.
Let's do that. That's a good idea. Yeah. Let's move into the next section now.
God, all the colours!
The colours of the rainbow just flown through. Wow.
Psychedelic madness. anyway.
Rather than do like a Game of the Year awards list, because we've missed the boat. We've missed the boat big time, haven't we, Sam? Be honest. We should have done this weeks ago, but we've had issues with not being able to find time to record and stuff, and the same old problems. I know Matt definitely wants to talk about what his Game of the Years are, so hopefully we'll try and get him in within the next couple of weeks to sort of mention something. I've asked him to do a recording, so if I can get him to do a recording, I'll chuck it on the end of this podcast. However, let's just do a review of the year. Let's sort of do it. What we think has been...
Yes, this would be a nice sort of reflection of things we've found and games we've played and even demos, I guess, as well, if there's anything else we can sort of keep in mind.
Because 2017 altogether has been a fantastic year for gamers everywhere, not just the Switch, like Xbox and PS4, Steam games. That, you know, it's been an absolutely fantastic year for games all over.
Yep, definitely. I agree. It's had quite a diverse thing of like diverse build, new things being tried, old things being remastered. Yeah, God, I don't know really where to begin, to be honest. It's just like, damn.
I would say let's start with, like, the Switch reveal was sort of quite early on in the start of 2017. We knew of it through a direct in November. The announcement of when the date was in literally around January, February time. And then the console was literally out by, what was it, March? Was it March? April? Something around there? Am I thinking right?
Yeah, about March. Start of March.
So the first thing that I think Nintendo definitely got right this year was the fact that they told us release date, and within the space of a couple of months, we had it in our hands. You know, it was just like,
yeah,
how quick they did that without anyone really knowing much more about it than what was said. You know, it was great. Of course, the early problems which started with it was there was no games. There was Zelda, which is the one everyone picked up. There was 1-2 Switch and Bomberman, and a couple other little indies, and I think there was a Square Enix game here and there. But if you look at the Nintendo Switch at the start of the year, compared to what now, what a difference that has made, you know? There's over 250 games on the console now.
Yeah, I think Nintendo did a really good way of staggering all their games, not just their main known titles, the indie games, the third party games, absolutely, everything. I think they've done a better job, and they've learned from the mistakes of the Wii U a little bit. And I mean,
we've got to give them praise there, absolutely, because
definitely,
rather than say, like, here's free Nintendo games out the first day, you might not necessarily have enough money to go and buy all three of those games on the first day, so you might have to choose between. So, I'm trying to think of an example, because when the Wii U came out, you had the choice of Pikmin 3 or Mario U, is that correct? Super Mario
Bros. Yeah.
And I know a lot of people overlooked Pikmin because everyone just goes for Mario. Mario is the game that everyone wanted. So I'm like, okay, so you guarantee everyone wants to play Zelda. Zelda Breath of the Wild, everyone was wanting it for months. It was just so early in development, it was shown via Direct that everyone was clamming to get it. And as soon as it was announced that it would be coming for Switch out in March, it sold consoles easy on its own. But the, like you're saying, the staggered releases of Nintendo games, like one every month, was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Much better way of executing it, I think.
So, in fact, we had, was it Zelda first, then ARMS?
Then ARMS, then Mario Splatoon. Oh, Mario Kart, then Splatoon.
Yeah. So within the first 4 months, you've got like four or five really proper good releases there from Nintendo. You know, they're all first-party titles that have done really well. ARMS sold over a million like straight away. Is great for a new title release. Splatoon just did its sequel.
I think it's really good for, especially for something of what could kind of be classed of its own sort of genre of game. It's fighting, but it's not, because of the whole the different styles of arms and hands and abilities. And I think it really is kind of a genre of its own.
I think the only problem ARMS has had is that because it was sort of sandwiched in between Mario Kart and Splatoon, two games that people already knew about and possibly some of them had already played before, maybe ARMS was slightly overlooked in that sort of section. Maybe it could have done better.
Yeah, a tiny bit. Yeah. Although Mario Kart didn't bring too much more to it. It was just literally like a few more races.
Battle mode was the main addition.
Battle mode, yeah.
Battle items and the boost bar, extra boost on corners. But that wasn't used on many of the tracks anyway. But then they, like you said, indie releases. Minecraft didn't come out not far after that. FIFA was pushed as one of the big games to have, but even if it wasn't that great, at least they're showing support for the third party to come in and like show off what they've got. Still supporting Microsoft and Mojang to bring Minecraft is great. Mario Odyssey near the end of the year as well to sponge off of those sales kind of thing. I hope they continue it out for the rest of the year. That's all I can say, because though this month we haven't really had anything from Nintendo themselves, it's been really quiet, and we're still waiting for this Direct to come. Where is this Direct? Where is it?
I think this Direct will hopefully bring maybe like a, how could I put it, almost like a flow of what the year of what is going to be expected, which I think we'll probably discuss in a little bit.
Yeah.
But hopefully it will give us a better expectation of what's to come for 2018. So yeah, definitely. I agree. It has been quiet, but there's probably good things to come. Speaking of which, probably another review of 2017 that I was going to say is the Bayonetta 3 trailer.
Oh man, I bet you are excited for that.
My friend told me I was literally screaming and shouting in excitement. I cannot wait. And also Bayonetta 1 and 2 to come to the Nintendo Switch. I was so excited. They've already put the pre-orders up and I was in there like a shot. I kid you not. I was like, I have to have it.
I've heard a lot of stories about this, actually, in the last couple of weeks about Bayonetta. Bayonetta 2 was offered to both Microsoft and Sony, and they both turned it down before Nintendo took it over. They basically paid for the whole development, partial parts of the development of the game to be released exclusively for Wii U. And that's why that's why the team are now actually like willing to make the game on the Switch as well, because they think Nintendo have done such a brilliant job to help them get it onto Wii U, they're going to keep supporting them with the next games as well.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Like, Nintendo don't really get praised for that sort of thing as often. And it's actually like they've really brought in a game that's not actually kind of Nintendo's normal sort of thing.
Right.
Really helped develop it, made a brilliant game of Bayonetta 2, and now they're bringing out 3, and it's like, oh, I just can't wait, because there's like a good expectation. So, I'm definitely looking forward to this.
Going into games we weren't expecting at the start, like Skyrim, Wolfenstein coming out.
Yeah, exactly. Other ones to bring in.
Doom, as well. They're all ones you wouldn't normally associate to come out on a Nintendo console. To see all three of those games like on there is going to be, it's fantastic. It's great that they've got these releases coming, and more power to like the Bayonetta team to say that they're more than willing to get back on this Nintendo console and help develop more games for it. It's great to see, and I hope there's more third parties throughout 2018 that's like want to jump on board.
Yeah, definitely. I hope to see more people sort of invest a bit more faith again into Nintendo, because there's always been moments where some just sort of think, I get like some don't want to sort of have to conform to what Nintendo wants, but at the same time, it's like you kind of just got to have that discussion and that meet that middle ground, and then something good can actually come out of it.
That's it, man. On top of the main third party releases, we also had this fantastic list of indie games that just basically invaded the Switch console, and they've shown off loads of fantastic games on there. And things like SteamWorld Dig 2 and things like that. It's like,
yeah,
that game is fantastic, and the whole company, they put so much effort into their game to get what the fans want, and to keep seeing the praise they're getting from releasing their games and people buying it. It's just like, it's brilliant. It's great. More of them come to the Switch as well. Things like that. We've got Shovel Knights.
Things like Ukulele. That's another one that. Yeah.
Ukulele. I gotta love the quotes for Ukulele Delaley, though. That's probably my favourite part of 2017. But just a quote, not the actual delay itself, but it's just like Ukulele Delaley. So genius. But Yeah, I've still not picked it up yet, which is annoying. I really did want to pick it up, so that will be on the list to get in the next couple of months. But yeah, it's great to see that on the console as well, and the fact that they put effort in to make it run on that console. From what I heard, what I heard of the original first attempts to get it onto the Switch, how it was run on the Xbox and PS4, the same software or however it was made was not running on the Switch. They could not do it, get it to work. And from what I've heard from the background, they've literally had to rebuild the entire game to get it to work the Nintendo Switch. And it's like,
Christ.
You got to praise that effort, and that sort of, and I understand why it's still at that £35-30 price mark. It's still a little bit expensive for a lot of people to say, and in some cases you can agree. But at the same time, if it supports that team to continue development into more games, I'm more than happy than that, because there's a lot of fantastic talent in that former Rare studio in Playtonic Games. So.
Yeah, Playtonic. I mean, fair play to them.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to see that there's the support still there. I'm trying to think of other indie games off the top of my head. I know there's a lot that I'm looking forward to next year. But I want to mention that in the next section. Well, I know this is probably going to be a very short section now, because I'm trying to think of what else was a review of 2017. Did you pick up anything
for
the 3DS, Sam? Anything at all?
No, I mean, the only thing I really picked up was Miitopia, which I thought was quite fun and quirky. But once you kind of got past the story, it was just like, oh. Although it was nice to sort of include all my own characters into the game and chop and change at my own sort of pace. But yeah, I probably didn't really pick up too much for the 3DS. The thing, the Switch came out and
it's been overlooked.
It's been overlooked.
I don't think my 3DS has been on powered on for 3 months. So that shows how much I've been playing the Switch. But the same time, there has been some good releases for the 3DS, especially the likes of Ultra Sun and Moon, which has only recently just come out. I've not picked it up and played it myself, but I am intrigued by this Rainbow Rocket. After you complete the game, there's extra bits to it, and Rainbow Rocket is one of the things you got to fight against. So I'm interested to see how that all plays.
And it's the return of Giovanni, isn't it? Or something.
Return Giovanni. There's extra. What's the monster? What are they called? The not legendary.
Ultra Beasts.
Ultra Beasts. That's it. That's the one. There's more Ultra Beasts in Ultra Sun and Moon. And there's
when you say more, how many are we talking?
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest. I was quoted 4 or 5, but I don't know if that's correct, so I'll have to double check that. But if you know, let us know on our Twitter page. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But there's also the fact that you can go and battle every one of the legendary Pokemons from any of the other previous games as well, and things like that.
I did see about that.
It sort of intrigued me quite a bit to do that. But yeah, it looks a real fun game, but I think it's just the fact that it was on the 3DS only that is overlooked.
It's because they're probably saving the Switch for the new Pokemon release game.
This is rumoured for next year, but it's still unconfirmed so far. But yeah, I think the main problem with this Ultra Sun and Moon, it looks a good game, but I just think a lot of people overlooked it because it was not released for the Switch, and I think that's going to hurt a few sales there because of it. But at the same time, the 3DS still has a marketplace of 70 to 80 million consoles, so you can't really just turn it all off. We've got the Switch now, so just turn that all off. You've got to have a period of the Switch over kind of thing. Joke. From the 3DS to the Switch itself, that there's going to be that period where a lot of people are going to sort of start leaving the 3DS market and go into the Switch sales, but not necessarily everyone will be able to do that because it's still a fairly expensive console to some families, you know. So it's it's one of those things. I think Nintendo have done it right. The fact they are still supporting the 3DS, they haven't just turned it off completely. There are a few more games still to trickle out. There's a rumour of a new Zelda game coming next year for the 3DS.
So, really?
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what that is. It's still very early days and rumours of that, but hopefully there's something, Triforce Heroes 2 or something like that, I don't know. But anything will do at the moment to sort of give that console maybe its last sort of grasp, but a really good title, and maybe get people back into that for a little bit before we, you know, eventually go back to the Switch and stay on the Switch kind of thing. But one last hurrah for the 3DS, I think. Give it that one good send off. So I think that's pretty much got us to near the end, I guess, of the review.
I can't really think of, I think like really now is the time to sort of think, what can we really expect now for 2018?
I do have a little thing. I did have an interview with one of our listeners. The fantastic Charles Thompson decided he wanted to come talk to me about Nintendo and Nintendo Switch and things. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to stick that in right here so you can listen to his little conversation with me. It's only about 10, 20 minutes long. And then we'll come back into the what we expect for next year, for 2018. So enjoy.
Enjoy, peeps.
Welcome. This is a very special sort of mini episode of N Podcast System. I'm just recording loads of little interviews with as many people as I can, just to sort of get their thoughts on Nintendo in general and the Nintendo Switch. Today we have Trodge Thompson with us. Hello, Trodge. How are you doing?
Hello. How are you doing?
Very good, my friend. Where are you from? Okay, can you let everyone know who you are and where'd you come from?
I'm Troge, and I run the Monster Hunter Essex group. I also run the Nintendo Colchester group, and pointing out the obvious, I'm from Essex.
Hey!
Yeah.
Pointing out the obvious, like that. Right, so basically, I'm just doing little interviews with everyone, and the first thing I'm going to ask you is, what are your thoughts so far on the Nintendo Switch?
Well, I think there's a lot to say about it. It's where do I start, really?
Where do you start?
I think it's fair to say that, like, so far in a short period of time, it's come a long way. Mm. But I think it's also fair to say that it's still got a long way to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how long have you had your Switch for now?
I was actually a bit of a latecomer, actually. I only got mine during the summer.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't actually intending on buying one anytime soon, but my girlfriend, she made a deal with me to go halves with me for an early birthday.
Nice.
So, yeah, I was well pleased with that. I got a good deal from Smith. That was incredible.
You got from Smith, have you? I've seen they've got some really good, decent deals at the moment. Yeah. Not promoted, this is, by the way, everyone. Just letting you know. So what games have you got with the Switch so far?
Well, I got Breath of the Wild. Well, of course, you know, if you're a bit of a fool not to get Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
I was absolutely totally blown away by that, to be honest.
It's such a massive world you have to explore.
Oh my god, it was incredible. I mean, I would assume, like everyone else, I've put in 100 plus hours. I've seen people on my friends list, some of them have put in 800 hours.
Yeah.
I could probably understand that, because it is incredible. I believe the Champions Amiibos should be turning up tomorrow for everyone.
Yes, they're on the way for a few people.
Yeah, so, but we won't be able to use those till December, I read, because the DLC isn't out. Yeah, I think I read somewhere the DLC isn't out till December, which I'm a bit confused about.
That's a bit annoying.
But yeah, that game was That game was incredible.
Have you finished all of it, or are you still playing through?
I've completed it, but I'm not a completionist, as in going to do all the shrines and collecting all the seeds, etc.
Yeah.
However, I will. I'm definitely gonna pick it back up sooner or later.
I started playing it. I've played it quite a long way through, and I just enjoyed so much many of the mini tasks and things rather than the actual playing through the main story. I think I still haven't fought against Ganon or anything. Still need to go back and do that, which is terrible. I know, but I think I just got sort of burnt out on it after a while. And
I know what you mean. Yeah, it's a game you definitely have to take your time with.
Yeah, but at the same time, I've seen a lot of people speed run through it and try and finish it as quick as they can. So it offers a lot for lots of different people, I think. But
I have no idea how people manage to beat Calamity Ganon with three hearts. They just literally run in.
Three hearts,
armor. I've seen that video. That was absolutely crazy. I think it's very different from the previous Zelda games. It's like a totally, I wouldn't say totally new formula, but it's certainly very different. And it's not entirely what I expected, but it was incredible, no doubt.
So, overall opinion of Breath of the Wild in terms of score, what would you give it? Oof. Or is that too hard to answer?
I would honestly say a 9 is too low, but a 10 is too high. So, I'd probably say... I would say a 9.5. Yeah.
Cool.
Absolutely. And I think a reason for 9.5 is... Maybe this is an unpopular opinion, I don't know, but... I prefer the dungeons to the I'm trying to think what they were called now. It's been a while since I played the game.
Yeah, man.
what did we have instead of the dungeons? The
the beasts, basically.
The divine beasts. That's it.
Divine beasts. Yeah.
I mean, they were okay, but I much prefer the nostalgia of the old school Zelda dungeons. You know, I much would have preferred an old school Zelda dungeon to the divine beasts.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were saying a lot of the same things about that. I've thrown the dungeons were sort of a little bit short, maybe, and maybe not as challenging as it could have been. But I think they do offer something unique at the same time, though.
Oh, absolutely. You can't deny the fact that they were good. You can't deny the fact they were a good addition. But I think you know, the old school Zelda dungeons are still better, I think.
Cool. Nice to hear. So you say you picked up that. What other games have you picked up for the Switch?
I'm trying to think. I've got some digital games as well. I picked up Snipperclips.
Yes.
Which is pretty. Yeah. I played a lot of that at some of the meetups, actually.
Yeah. I think it's probably one of the best local play games there is for.
Yeah. Switch. That was. I was hooked as soon as I played the demo. I played the demo and I was just I've got to get this. It's so much fun.
I played the demo and I played the main game with James and Kat. And after that, I think I just never actually bought it. I don't know why I didn't buy it. But with the Plus version coming out very soon for a pretty cheap price from what I've seen. This is about £20, £25 around there. I'm probably going to end up picking that physical edition up.
Yeah, I only found out today that there is a physical copy of it. I didn't realise. Mm. So I might do the same. I might pick it up at some point.
What's annoyed me most with these extra physical copies coming out is there's a Sonic Mania physical copy. For the Switch coming out. And I just don't know what to do, whether to buy it or not. And I really want it, but I don't.
Damn, because that's another game, obviously, I've got as well.
Mm.
Knowing that, I would have waited for the physical version as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I could have waited this long for it, to be honest, but it's why couldn't they do it at the start? I would definitely have bought it, you know? But never mind. Is there any other games you've got?
Yeah, Sonic Mania. You brought it up, Sonic Mania. I'm embarrassed to admit this. I've really not put too much hours into it. I've maybe played for about 1 or 2 hours.
I've kind of
got sidetracked by personal life, and then I just kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, really. That happens, unfortunately.
Yeah. But I just remember playing this level. I'm pretty sure you guys talked about it in your podcast. Literally, coming out the other end of a pipe, and all of a sudden, I'm playing Robotnik's Mean Bee Machine. I'm like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, that's probably one of the best parts, I think.
That was brilliant. I was just like, what is going on here? I just didn't expect it at all.
Yeah,
and I tend not to read. Tend not to read about games before I play them. Mm-hmm. I surprised myself, and that was a fantastic touch to that game.
I must admit, I did try to avoid all spoilers anywhere for Sonic Mania, and the same for Mario Odyssey recently. But it is getting very, very difficult to avoid everything now. Because I follow so many things on Twitter and Facebook, I might see a glimpse of something and try and avoid it. It's getting much more harder to try and avoid all these spoilers. But overall, I think that is something that it was a nice surprise, and I think Sonic Mania is just such a nice gift to the actual fans of both traditional and actually more parts of the modern Sonic games. They've all sort of added bits and parts to everything there. But overall, I just think it's such a fantastic game.
It certainly like hits the nail on the head when it comes to nostalgia.
Absolutely.
I can't really speak too much on it other than that because I've not played it all that much.
Of course.
But
I mean, I've played through and completed it both on the Switch and PC versions because I was doing a recording for it. But it's amazing. I love it.
That was awesome.
So, is that your whole list or is there anything else?
A couple more games. Well, one of them's not a game, but obviously being a big Monster Hunter fan, I created a Japanese account and managed to download the Double Cross demo.
Okay, yeah.
Is incredible. And I am very jealous for the Japanese. Oh, man, it's so good.
So what's different in the Switch version compared to the 3DS version? Do you know?
Well, just being able to play it on the big screen.
Yeah.
Like, we've been able to do that since, you know, Free Ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
And in the demo, there's an additional monster that's not in Generations that you fight.
Right.
And it took me like 3-4 attempts to beat him.
Nice.
Which was awesome, because let's face it, you do something first time. Say you do something first time and beat it, you know, it's not much fun. You know, it's easy, isn't it? You know, I like a challenge. That's probably why I love Monster Hunter, because it's such a really difficult game. And,
can you play that on multiplayer at all on the demo? Or is it
local you can, yeah.
Local. Oh, that's cool. That's nice to know.
Yeah.
Cool. So you'll be picking, if that comes into any time soon into Europe, would you be picking it up straight away? Or?
Oh, I think you already know the answer to that question.
Yeah. Or are you just literally going to download it from the Japanese market?
Oh, no. Do you know what? I actually thought about doing that, but I'm not sure I can be bothered with the hassle of translating it.
Yeah, that is the problem with Monster Hunter. There's a lot of text to go through and on that game and try and understand it, I think. But maybe that can put people off in some cases to the game, I don't know. But
reason why I haven't got it.
Okay.
Is the language barrier, basically.
So you need to learn Japanese as soon as possible in Triforce, basically.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
What you're saying, So is that everything else? Is there anything other demos or anything you've picked up and played? Or?
No, there's only one more game that I think everyone has been playing recently, and that's Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh, man. I who hasn't played it on the Switch? I'm sure it's
going to
be.
I think it's a compulsory buy. And the funny thing, what I like about it, is on social media, there's this big war for Game of the Year with Breath of the Wild versus...
Oh, man.
And they're both incredible. You can't deny that.
The thing is, I look at all the other games out on other systems, and I just can't see anything really getting near it. I think my personal top three this year so far is between Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, and Cuphead. I think Cuphead's a fantastic
game. I want to play Cuphead.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so hard, but so brilliant.
I've watched like maybe a couple of hours of footage on YouTube, and I'm absolutely hypnotized by it.
Yeah, man, it's
that would
so
be perfect
tough.
On the Switch. That would be amazing on the Switch. Yeah. I keep saying people would need that on the Switch.
There's lots of talk of it happening, but I think there's an Xbox Microsoft exclusivity there somewhere in place for
a
couple of years.
Yeah,
so.
Because I think the PS4 version was cancelled like 1 or 2 months before it released.
Yeah, that's it.
So, Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Yeah. Cool. So that's quite a lot of games there, anyway, man. And
yeah.
You seem to be enjoying the Switch, and it's going
well.
Yeah, absolutely.
For you. Yeah. I'm looking forward to getting Doom tomorrow.
Oh, cool, man. What's convinced you to get Doom for the Switch?
Well, a long time ago, I managed to get the beta,
right.
PlayStation 4.
Okay.
Absolutely loved it. Played it for quite a while, and kind of just got forgotten about it.
All right. Okay.
I always had like in mind like I was gonna buy it, and then like as the game kind of got older, I figured that ship's probably sailed by now.
Mm.
I don't know whether to get it, and I'm still toying with the idea. But now it's come to the Switch. I was like, yeah, I'm getting it now. It's a good
time.
I
sort of missed the boat on both Doom and Wolfenstein. I don't think I even looked at either of them. And ever since I've seen the trailer for Wolfenstein 2,
yeah,
I've been like, I need to play these games. This looks amazing. It's just,
yeah,
I can't wait for both Doom and Wolfenstein 2 to come to the Switch. I think it'd be fantastic to play in a handheld mode as well as...
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, just that sort of like power in handheld is just unbelievable, I think.
I do question how well it will run in that mode. That's the only thing that's sort of given me a little bit of a what's going to happen with it kind of thing. But
I mean, I read on Nintendo Life that there's, upon release, there's a 25 gigabyte download just to play multiplayer.
All right. They have done it separate, though, haven't they? So
yes. Yeah.
If you just want to play just a single player, it's a lot less than that, I think.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And this is one of the other major problems with the Switch, is because the memory, you need to put basically a memory card for it.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing, because you can just keep putting more memory cards in there and fixing it, but it does get expensive after a while with how many you've got. And
yeah, it like is, that. Yeah. I think if you do some digging around on the internet, some good deals on SD cards, to be fair.
I'm waiting for Black Friday to see if there's any decent deals coming up.
Yeah.
I'm actually considering getting the big 200 and something gigabyte one, but it's £150 for it. I'm like, ooh, it's still might be a little bit over my budget.
It might be worth it on the long run, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I can use it for other things as well, so, you know, it's interesting. Okay, so we anticipated for Doom. Is there anything else that you quite anticipated for in the next couple of weeks or so? Or?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything else right now.
I think this is kind of a bit of a problem at the moment, because there's so many great games on the Switch now, over the last like 6-7 months, or however long it's been now.
Yeah.
But it was just like, there's nothing really planned in the future for quite a while.
Yeah, that is true.
We do have, there's a Yoshi game coming, we know of, and Metroid Prime is happening, apparently.
Yeah, Metroid Prime's on my pre-order list.
That is one of my top games I would definitely be getting. I really enjoyed the Metroid Prime series. And Yeah, that is definitely
I've only
on
actually
there.
Played the first Metroid Prime game, actually, but I loved it.
You can pick up all three on the Wii U if you haven't tried it out.
That's why I picked up. I remember getting that on sale, actually, a couple of years back, actually.
Yeah.
And I'd plan the first one. Not a massive fan of Metroid, but I like it. I'm not a hardcore fan, that's what
I'm not a big fan of the 2D ones, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I might have just upset most of our listenership there. I do really enjoy the 3D games, so I'll definitely be picking that one up.
Yeah, it's got like an old school feel to it. That's what I like about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so of your games so far, what is the best game you've played? I know this is a very difficult question.
The two obvious ones stand out. I mean, it's very typical of me to say that, but the two that stick out are Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey. But I gotta go with Breath of the Wild, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That game has just totally blown me away.
And is there any games you could say the worst game you've seen or played so far?
The worst game.
A harder question. Yeah.
That's a tough question because they're all pretty good. I played some demos. I can't even remember the name of them, and I actually I played it for like 2 minutes and thought, no. I can't even remember. It was a 2D platformer. I think it was Namco Bandai game.
Right.
I can't even remember what it was called now.
That's cool. No, that's not a problem. Not a problem. Okay, so you're quite a massive listener to our podcast, though, Roger, aren't
you? Yeah,
you've been listening pretty much for 2 years or so. Yeah. You've been going. You must be like one of the most committed fans we've ever had.
Yeah, I'd probably say I'm probably your biggest fan. I would go as far as to say.
Ooh, there's a few that would definitely like to fight you for that crown, I'm sure. But talking of crowns, I did give you a crown fairly recently. You are the king of memes.
Oh, the king of memes, yeah.
The king of memes.
Yeah.
Because he's just constantly just like sending out memes every single day on Facebook. It's so good. I love it.
I mean, if you got me on social media, you'll see like everything on my Facebook is like just really humorous and jokey. But I'll tell you right now, that doesn't actually define me in real life. I just don't take unless it's like for my group Monster Hunter Essex, I take that very seriously, but my own personal account, I don't take that very seriously at all.
Of course.
I think it's just fun. I think sometimes people look at my account and go, oh god, he's a bit weird.
He's doing more memes again. Oh.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So talking about the podcast.
Yep.
What has sort of drawn you into listening to us for so long and why?
Well, I think like the chemistry of you three, first of all, like works perfectly.
Oh man. That's just like, you're too nice to us.
Yeah, I mean like you're all quite different in your ways, but you're all very similar in other ways as well.
Mm. I've always said like the age gap between myself, Sam, and Matt does make it like a quite an interesting aspect, the fact that we can talk from it from different generation sort of views.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I'm near enough from your generation.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with a Game Boy.
Yeah.
That was actually my first ever Nintendo console, actually.
My first, yeah, but I had the Game Boy and the Game Boy Color, my first sort of main consoles, but we always had the NES sort of hiding in the background somewhere, you know, so. Quite often played on there as well.
I was quite late to the home console. My first home console was actually an N64, believe it or not.
Yeah, the one I actually owned myself, the first one I had was 64, but I did have a Mega Drive before that, but, you know, that's.
I was a Sega gamer as well back in the day. Actually, me and my brother, we played like Sonic for hundreds of hours, endlessly. Yeah, I think like yourself, I always played Sonic 3.
Yeah. Oh, good. I got someone actually agrees with me.
Yeah. I mean, I like them all, but I think because like number 3 sticks out quite vividly in the memories for me.
Yeah. I'm hoping I can get Colin from the Nintendo Voice, whatever their podcast is called now, Nintendo Podcast Voice. Oh, I can't remember what it is. Anyway, I'm hoping to get Colin on because he constantly berates the fact that he says that Sonic 3 is like a bad game, and I'm just like,
awesome.
No.
I mean, my brother, he absolutely loves it to death. He's not even a big gamer, but I remember when we went on holiday last year to Cyprus. And I bought my DS and games, and like he was just sort of looking through my games as he was bored one day, and he saw that I had the Sonic Mega Collection on the DS.
Oh man!
I said, "Oh, Sonic 3's on there if you want to play it," and his face lit up like a Christmas tree, and he literally played it until he completed it.
It's quite funny. It's you're saying that. A friend of mine, I sit next to at work. He got a 3DS with that game on it.
Yeah.
He said, do you want to give it a go? He was like, well, yeah, go on. And I gave it a go, and I finished the game in the space of like an hour of lunch break. So I was like, whoa.
Good.
Yeah, so quite committed to that one. So, cool. So I think that sort of wraps it up for us, to be honest, Trodge. Is there anything you wanted to share out about for any of your social media or groups?
My mind's gone black all of a sudden. Shout-outs, you say?
Yeah, shout-outs, man, if you got any.
Definitely shout-out to the whole Monster Hunter Essex community. it would be unfair to pick out names. They're all awesome.
You're all awesome. Thank you, yeah. Monster Hunter Essex group. You're amazing.
And, of course, the groups that are near to me as well. I was going to say Street Pass. They're not called that anymore, are they?
Nearly.
Nintendo Southend and Nintendo Basildon, absolutely awesome groups. They're just their hospitality is you know, so welcoming. So you know, new people and you know the current members that come.
Yeah, man.
You know, and I do. You know, I mean, I work quite a bit, but I try to attend their events when I can.
Of course, yeah.
And I always end up having such a laugh.
It's always worth a go, and there's hundreds of groups all over the country, so if you are interested, look up Nintendo Players groups, mainly on Facebook now, I think, is the best place to find them. But you can find one near you somewhere.
Yeah, I tell you what, if travelling wasn't a distance, I'd attend all these meets.
Yeah, this is my aim by the end of the year, is to be able to drive so I can actually go to some more events like this. So this is.
I've actually been very tempted to drive to Southampton, actually, but it is quite a drive for me.
We haven't actually done many events for ages at Southampton because it's just there's been loads of issues with that. But
okay.
If not, there's also Basingstoke, Portsmouth, and mainly them two, to be honest, that we sort of go to.
Yeah.
But there's also Reading just down the road from us as well.
Yeah, I've actually been invited to the Reading one. And again, that is quite far to go, which is, you know, that's the only off-putting thing for me about going is just the distance.
Maybe we'll see you there, one of them, in the future, or maybe I'll come over to your way and come and meet up with you.
Yeah, awesome. So
I'll try and drag Sam and Matt with me, and that'll be a bit of a meet up. That'd be cool.
Yeah, or London's probably a good halfway point.
Or London, we can definitely do that.
Yeah, I mean, I make the occasional trip to London.
Cool.
As well for meet ups there.
Cool. So I think that wraps it up then. Awesome. Thanks very much. Trotch.
It's been a having me on here.
Oh, it's all the pleasure's all ours. Absolutely. You know, it's just great. We've got people like yourself who's so nice to actually come and say that you're enjoying the podcast. And
I absolutely love it.
It's nice to get feedback, man. We really do appreciate it. So cool.
Pleasure. I'm going to keep listening.
So, Sam, what do we want for 2018? What is our big expectations for 2018?
I think Nintendo are really going to have to try and keep the ball rolling now. If I were to make an expectation and almost a prediction, I get the feeling they might have some secret sort of IP. Ooh. That they've got right up their sleeve ready, but they've literally released nothing. I think we might even see this in the direct, possibly.
Ooh. There's been lots of rumors of this the last couple of days of a direct about to be dropped or about to be released.
Mm.
There've been lots of fake rumors about as well. One I got caught on today was a Russian Nintendo page had actually announced a direct, but no one else in the world had. That was actually untrue, but it was funny anyway, so I still posted about it. But there's been lots of rumours about tomorrow being the date, the 11th for the first 18, but we've not seen anything so far. I mean, even the Nintendo America page has been trolling everyone so badly. The parrot from the Mario Odyssey game, he's literally like a talking parrot that gives you a clue.
Talkatoo, I think it's called.
That's it, Talkatoo, or Parrotoo, or something like that. But he gives you a clue to one of the moons hidden within the level, and Nintendo of America basically posted a picture of this parrot thing with a hat on their social media, on Twitter, and everyone's speculating that it means that he knows something that no one else does. So what is that something else? Today, to get even more behind it, they put a picture of Chibi Robo all like with loads of fire around him, all like lit up and stuff, and that was there was no text, there was nothing else, just that picture. And it's like they really are heating things up now, aren't they? They're really getting into it. Adding on to that, the official Capcom page decided to send them a Fireman from Mega Man games picture. And then the Sonic page then decided to send a Blaze picture to them as well. So fantastic marketing teams. Literally thumbs up to you guys. Pretty cool.
Yeah, if they can catch on and react so quickly, that's clever.
Yeah, you got to love it with it. But like, companies start talking to each other on social media. It is funny sometimes. What do we want to see in this direct and the sound? Is there anything like you predict right now? If you wanted one prediction, which you think guaranteed in that direct, what is it going to be?
Oh God. Like I said, the IP thing, sort of the new game.
Yeah. But what new game do you think it is? If you could say any game of Nintendo's series or any other series, what's going to be in there?
I'm just trying to think. We've got a few exploring games. We've got a fighting game. We've got a shooting game. We've got a racing game.
I'll tell you what, right? I've got a list here of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's about 10 games here which have already been announced for 2018. So while you have a think of what you want to say there, I'll give you the games that have already been confirmed. Kirby Star Allies, which is a new Kirby game with four-player Kirby game that's coming to Nintendo Switch, which is interesting.
Okay.
There's a Fire Emblem for Switch, which hasn't literally the working title so far, no official name or anything given. They might be mention of that in the direct, possibly. Project Octopath Traveler, which is a Square Enix game. They gave a demo out for it fairly recently, last couple of months ago. It looks interesting for a small RPG game. That's also a working title, still to come. No More Heroes, Travis Strikes Again. I've never played No More Heroes, so I don't know what it is. Do you have any ideas? I don't know.
I think it's a like about assassins and killing. If I remember.
Travis and he strikes again, that's all I know. he must have struck before, so there you go. There's a Yoshi game coming some point in 2018.
Yeah, I do remember that one.
Looks kind of cute and stuff so far. Not much more than that.
I think it's like Papercraft, because last time it was Yarn.
Yeah, it's very similar to sort of Paper Mario, Yarn, Yoshi sort of looks and aspects. BitTrip Runner 3 is a game that's been confirmed for 2018 for Switch. The interesting one there is the Charles Martinet did the voiceover for the commentary for the previous game for BitTrip Runner 2, so interesting to see that come to the Switch. There's two games here I've never even heard of. Dragon Marked for Death and Light Fingers.
No idea.
Light Fingers?
No, yeah, I have no idea.
I laughed as soon as I heard that as well. Don't know what they are, but two new indie games confirmed. And, of course, Bayonetta 1 and 2 announced, and possibly 3, but that might be the year after. Nothing really said about when 3 will be out.
But, I can't wait.
So that's the list so far, Sam, of games I believe been confirmed, as far as I'm aware. That's on the list of games confirmed.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you think could be added on that list? Well, I literally left you on the spot and don't have a clue.
I think you've left me on the spot now. I'm just trying to think that among those, is the only things I can think are... The only other thing I can think of is something to do more with the whole motion controls.
Okay.
Again, because we've kind of like, we've had 1-2 Switch, we've had arms, and it's kind of fallen flat again, a tiny, tiny bit.
You are right.
I think it's going to pick up again with something motion controlling again, but really taking it to the next level with the whole HD motion control, but the advanced motion control. So I think something along those lines might be in store for us.
What I was wondering with that is there any way possible VR games could be used with that motion control technology?
Yeah, because like VR chat's been a thing now on Steam, and there's been a lot of memeage and trolling, but I can
Ugandian
possibly
Knuckles meme insert here.
Oh, good lord, yeah.
Click, click.
yes. Click, click. But yeah, something along those kinds of lines, maybe. I don't know. I know Nintendo's a bit funny about the whole voice chat thing, but yeah, I mean, something motion controlling along those lines, I think,
actually,
is along the way.
To be fair to you, Sam, that sort of game would work really well on the Switch. it's just so stupid that it would work really well.
Probably, yeah.
But it's all, the movement in that is all, you don't actually move the character at all. You've got to click to move, like a mouse click kind of thing. You sort of aim at an area and you click and you move to that area. So there's no actual head movement really required that much, and it is within the VR versions on Steam and that, but I don't think you could probably get away with it just by moving left and right with the two Joy-Cons. It could work in a way, but I think you are right that there's been no real use of that technology that much by many other developers other than Nintendo themselves, so I'm wondering if there is something that could be used. I know Metroid could possibly be one that may use them in the future.
Yeah, that would be cool. Oh yeah, of course, Metroid 4.
Metroid 4. I don't think...
Are we going to see more of that?
I don't think it's going to be this year. I know traditionally Nintendo, like I suppose with Breath of the Wild, they showed it like literally the year before and it was out the following year. I don't think we're going to get the same with Metroid, unfortunately. I would really like to see it out by like October, maybe just before October, but I'm skeptical mainly because of one other game coming out near Christmas, I think, and that would be the Pokemon game.
It's just
the fact that without Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon just come out on 3DS, but that means there isn't going to be a Pokemon game for another year. I don't think that's going to be... It doesn't make sense, so there must be something coming from the Pokemon franchise, even if... Well, we actually did completely ignore Pokken from our previous discussion, actually. But,
last year's
review gone now. Too late.
Yeah, so, too late. Didn't do enough.
Didn't do enough. But it was one of the games that got released over the last few months, like in Nintendo's lists. But I just think there might be something maybe before the main game series gets announced, which is likely to be October, November, when they traditionally release those games. But maybe there could be a Mystery Dungeon game or something else before that.
I was thinking a puzzle sort of tactical game, and I think that might be something. But how many have they done now, and how many more can they really do to stretch it out?
They've done a good, like... 4 or 5, I believe, and they've actually done really well in terms of sales for them from the last like few. So I'd be interested to see what they could do to put it on the Switch and maybe offer those extra things like using motion controls and stuff as an extra feature. How it would work, I don't know. But it's just the sort of only other thing I could think of. Really, there's I don't think there'd be just one Pokemon game in the year. There must be something else in there somewhere. I'm pretty convinced that the November one is odds on to be out for us, kind of thing, for the Switch, the main title. Do you agree with that? Do you think that's going to be the highly game for Christmas?
Yeah, I agree, definitely.
Any other thoughts of 2018, what we'd like to see, even if it's like the most obscure thing? A lot of people. Matt has said Smash Bros. He's convinced that there's going to be.
Yeah, I think a lot of people want to see that.
A lot of people want to see it. I think, but whether it would be a port or a whole new game, I don't know. That's the thing.
I think, like, for me, it's a case of if they do port it, what's the price tag like? And
will it be a deluxe edition with all the extra DLC, which people probably already bought for the Wii U version? That's the problem with Smash. Is can you get people to buy everything all over again on there, like Mario Kart? But Mario Kart was a different game because lots of people play that constantly. Whereas Smash Bros is one of those more the competitive players would definitely play it continually. But will the casual audience still be playing it within a few months' time? I'm not so sure myself, but it's one of those. I'd like to see Smash Bros, of course, but I'm still kind of skeptical on that one. I don't know. I'm unsure. So
yes.
We've got a Kirby game, we've got a Yoshi game, we've got Metroid, we've got possibly a Pokemon game, possibly Smash Bros. So that's five pretty big titles from Nintendo there. Freedom Planet 2 is one of the ones I'd like to see, but I think it's still in development at the moment. But I don't. So I think that'd be possibly end of the year or start.
I was going to say end of the year, possibly, if they really are on the way.
But I know that's sort of in development and they're really working hard on it. I just don't know now. 3DS games, like we said, that Zelda game is sort of highlighted as a game to be possibly out on the 3DS. Don't know whether it'll be a 2D or 3D game. We don't know. No one's really said much about it. What else could it be? That's the thing. It could be another mini game like one, or another Triforce Heroes. I don't know. Honestly,
we'll have to wait and see. I think.
Could we see another Mario game on the 3DS?
I don't know. We've already got two.
We did have Mario Maker last year for 3DS, which was very. It was a good port, and it wasn't quite the thing we wanted from the Wii U, but it was a good port of the game.
I don't know. I think it's kind of dying down now. I don't think they'll do much more.
What about a Mario Maker Switch edition? Is that a likely thing? I think it's already
problem is
now.
No stylus. I think it's
no stylus,
kind
of course, yeah.
It's kind of tricky. Not unless you go buy. It's a touchscreen. Just you're going to be doing it with your finger, and that's not exactly like you're like. I don't know, like you've got greasy fingers, then
greasy
that's
fingers.
A nightmare.
All you little kids down there with your greasy fingers. Sweets away.
Don't be touching my clean Switch. Get off you.
Get off my Switch. Yeah, man. I'm literally like, I'm at the bottom of the barrel. The Donkey Kong game, barrels, there you go. Maybe that's something.
Yeah, we haven't had a good Donkey Kong game since Deep... Tropical Freeze or whatever it was.
Freeze was a great game. And shout out to James from Nintendo, Dalagan Ash on Twitter. He still has less followers than I do. he loves the soundtrack for that game, and he constantly plays it to us when we pop around his house and that. So it is a really good soundtrack, to be fair. I think if we get a Donkey Kong game, he may just like get a bit too excited.
His new icon on Twitter says it all. So
yeah, oh god, yeah. That really annoyed me actually, because I saw that, and then the first person commented it was Mega G Wolf. I don't know if you know who Mega G Wolf is. He's a YouTuber who mainly the main series he does is Sonic hacking games, and I love them. I watch them all the time. And the fact that James, the first person commented on James's thing was him, and I was like, I'm so jealous. He's such a nice guy, so it's pretty cool to see that they know each other. So maybe I can sneak in and say hello, you know, as you do. Okay, so let's look away from games. Do you reckon there'll be another Switch console released? Like a smaller version?
I see where you're going with this. Like, because we had like the probably think of it like a DS, then 3DS, then 3DS XL, and
traditionally Nintendo do like to release a second version fairly early on in the console, sort of.
Yeah, I hope they don't. I really don't.
I hope there's more color options for the controllers, for the Joy-Con.
Yeah, that's I can agree on.
It's always like giving that extra sort of look to the console. I think that does make it stand out. I would like to see more colors, though. I must admit, it would be to, you know, there's a lot of good options so far, but I think we'd like to see a few more.
I'm really looking forward to the red and blue Bayonetta ones. They look sweet as heck.
What I'm really worried about is that they're going to release like a terabyte version. I mean, I've missed out the party somewhere. I would really want a heavy memory version. But
you can get a blooming SD card.
I got one over Christmas. I got 128 gigabyte, I think it is. So I'll have to double check in a minute. But I got one over Christmas, and it's, I put it in, and I just don't know how to put games onto the card. It doesn't really explain how to do it, if I'm honest. I don't know if it's downloaded into the card or downloaded into the console. And my console is currently full up to the brim. I can't put any more games on that. Mm. But I can't seem to work out how to put it onto the card. If anyone can help me out and let me know how to do it properly, at Gorny7789 on Twitter. Thank you. Yeah, so that is something I've invested in, and yeah, I think we're going to need to with the amount of games we want to see more on the console, maybe.
Yes, indeed.
Is there anything else in terms of 2018 that you want to see, Sam? What about Amiibos? Do you want to see any more Amiibos coming out? Or?
No, I have too many already. Jeez.
You need another shelf.
I love them to bits. I had to buy another shelf because I run out of space. Yeah, I had to buy another bookcase to extend the run.
It's a good job you work for that blue box in the city, then.
Big blue box did offer us a nice offer, so I was like, I will take you up on your very generous offer. And I don't know, how is more Amiibos?
Are you gonna be picking up the Shovel Knight Amiibos for sure?
I will most certainly, if I get the opportunity, I will be like a shot.
I'm looking at Shovel Knight right now, and he's literally towers over all the other Amiibos. He's just so big. He's so good.
He's very lonely on my shelf. He needs Spectre Knight and Plague Knight and King Knight.
I do love the Goomba, though. The Goomba is probably my favourite Amiibo at the moment.
I just got him.
Didn't even get the Mario & Luigi game, which I've already owned on other consoles. I just got the Amiibos of him and the Koopa as well. The Koopa Trooper is great, so... But good. Okay,
I can't pick a favorite.
Oh, what about your Bayonetta? No. Do you get Bayonetta?
Oh, very true. They're all brilliant. I love their detail and design, and they're just so
shout out to
cool.
My friend Chris, who gave me the KK Slider Amiibo, because he's like,
you lucky bugger. I like that.
To me. He's so cool. He's got the little car and everything.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Well, I have kicks, so it doesn't matter, so shush.
Okay, that's good. That's not a problem. Not a problem. Okay, so I think we've pretty much exhausted our useless expectations of 2018. And we've done our direct predictions.
Yes.
We've done our review of 2017. We had Trodge on for a little bit of the podcast. And we've done what we've been playing. I think that's pretty much sort of like got us near to the end now, isn't it?
Yeah, do we have any shout-outs for any lovely peoples?
Let's go into the next section. Basically, I've got a couple of shout-outs, if I can remember who they are. Bitmap Bureau, I've mentioned them a few times before. They made 88 Heroes and Ninja Showdown, which are two games released on the Switch fairly recently. They've got a new game coming out, which is fantastic. It's looking fantastic. It's a... Zeno, what is it called? Well, I can't remember what it's called. I can never remember what this is called. Oh my god. Wait, I'm gonna pause this moment and come back to you in 1 second. Zeno Crisis is the name of their game. Zeno Crisis. So Zeno Crisis, I keep calling it Xenoverse or Xenoblade, and I keep winding
Zeno
the
Crisis.
Guys up. So this is why I keep like getting the name wrong, because I keep winding other people up with the wrong name. So it's basically a game. Have you played the game Smash TV before, Sam, or have you heard of it?
No.
It was a co-op game in the 90s. You basically I don't know what console it was originally released on. I had it on the PlayStation. But you basically have, it's a top down view. You go, it was Smash TV was on, you was on a game show, and you're one of two players, and you go into each room and you fight a load of bad guys, and whoever got the most points won prizes and stupid things like that. So you go through each room, you can go whichever direction you want to go. It's like a top down one, twin stick shooter, so you both, one stick to the aim direction, the other one to shoot. And basically, Xenocrisis is a modern version of that game in a way. It's heavily based on that game anyway. It's the thing that's really intriguing about it is they're releasing it for the Sega Mega Drive or Genesis in America and the Dreamcast. Which is like, okay, that's very odd. And they're even making actual cartridges and stuff for it, so you can play it in those original consoles. But it's also coming to the Nintendo Switch. So, I wanted to give them a shout out. Unfortunately, I'm a little bit late because the Kickstarter campaign has run out today. And they have actually already hit their target, hit their goal, about four times what their original goal was made.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, it will be coming out later on in the year. So, yeah, there we go. A whole new game coming from a fantastic developer based here in Southampton. So please give it a check out to it. Check out their other games. And, yeah, that's pretty much it for them. Their Twitter handle is @bitmapbureau, which is BITMAPBUREAU. So, yeah, go check them out. Give them a follow. And say hi from Gorney, and they'll know who you are. So that's cool.
Say hi from Gorney.
Yeah, we'll give a shout out to Matt. He wanted to say some things to us. I think mainly like Smash Bros. He's looking forward to Fire Emblem new release. He wants to see what that is. We had a little bit of a discussion about a possible Pokemon game. I'm still convinced it's coming. He's not so sure. So we'll have to wait and see who's right. Remember this, people. Let me know that I'm right. Yeah. Okay.
And you could just be there right at the start. I was right.
And also Smash for Switch is confirmed by Matt, apparently. So yeah. If he's wrong, send your abuse his way.
Is Matt not telling us something? Is he secretly working for Nintendo? We need people to stalk him.
Friend Ainsworth MK2, which I gave loads of abuse in the last podcast to, and he wanted more abuse. He sent us a message saying, "I'm moving my games room from upstairs to downstairs, but nobody cares about that though." We care. I hope you have a steady move and you don't like hurt yourself or anything falling downstairs with game consoles. Don't do that. That's stupid. So, yeah, cool. Other than that, I think I'm pretty much done for any shout outs. Is there anything you'd like, anyone else you'd like to shout out for, Sam? Anyone recently?
I'd probably like give my usual shout outs, like Street Pass. Well, I say Street Pass UK is Nintendo UK Players, isn't it? So I always give it a.
I keep getting it wrong. I keep saying Street Pass. I'm too used to it.
I keep saying Street Pass, but Basingstoke is always, because they always they're such an active community, especially. I haven't seen them in a while, so. Much love to the peeps.
Check out their Discord page. You can find it on their Facebook page. Links and stuff in there. But that's Nintendo Basingstoke group on Facebook. Discord page isn't actually quite active at the moment. They've got set days for each game. So if you're something you're really interested in playing, I think Mario Kart Monday is one of the main ones I normally join in with. And Tuesday they play it soon. Fridays they're now doing a D&D session. I think they're actively letting people join whenever to sort of join into the adventure. The last I knew, they were doing a Pokemon D&D on the Friday. So I think everyone chose like a different Pokemon and you work through a game through there. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, check them out. I'm sure they'll be more than willing to accommodate you and welcome you to the group. So
nice.
Even if you don't know where Basingstoke is, it's fine. They'll still come and join, you know. Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's cool of them. That's really cool of them. Who else? Me? Oh, I tell you what. Here's like a really, really special shout out. Do you know of a YouTuber called M1?
No.
Do you know, remember the Animator Grump animation with the 70 animators?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Do you remember the song at the end that was done by Master Sword? It was also in collab with a YouTuber called M1 who does Game Grumps remixes and remasters.
Possibly. I will have to check it out afterwards, so things. I'm not so sure.
I would love to...
Now I think about it, Sam, did we actually mention anything about going to Game Grumps last time we were on a podcast? I can't remember.
I don't think... No, we did. I'm sure we did.
We did. Okay, that's fine. We went and saw Game Grumps. Sure, cool. Did. There you go. Let's move on.
We went and saw them live. Just to sort of cover briefly, we got tickets to go see Game Grumps live. It was awesome. It was at the Hammersmith. We had such a good time, screaming, shouting. There was references. There was all sorts. It was a brilliant time.
Yeah, highly recommend. I know Markiplier's doing a tour at the moment as well, so if people get to see Markiplier in London, or if he's really been in London, I don't know. Hope you enjoy it. Hope it's good. So,
yes. Back to Game Grumps Animated. So M1, he does loads of Game Grumps remixes. You can check out his channel. It's M1, which is EM-0ONE. I got to meet him at an event. And he's the coolest guy ever. Just really, really big shout out to him because he was really, really nice. I actually didn't realize who he was at the beginning, and then later on I was like, oh yeah, that, like, oh shit, because we were just talking. He was like, fair play to him, he doesn't like to, like, he's actually a really modest guy, and fair play to him, but he's super awesome. So like, thank you so much to him, and like, you should really go check out his music. It is amazing. Like, he's done Game Grumps remixes and all sorts of music. He like streams as well. I think you can find on Twitter as well at mbuzz, so embuzz. Go please go follow his stuff, because he is an amazing musician and artist. He really, really deserves it. I think that's pretty much most of my shout outs, because I don't have too many.
Oh no, Sam only gives so many a episode. If you really want a shout out from Sam, you've got to be really nice to him. So
I think that about wraps it up, doesn't it?
On that note, I think it's time to leave. Sad times.
At least we've kept it below our usual 2-hour rambles.
That's it. Yeah, we've done all right today. Okay, so you can check us out at NPodcast System on Twitter, Facebook, on YouTube, on podcasts, on Apple, iTunes, whatever it's called now. I'll keep changing the name. And loads of other places on the internet. Just search for Nintendo Podcast System or NPodcast System. We normally turn up on Google searches and all sorts. If you're listening on Apple's iTunes Music, whatever it's called now, you can look at the show notes, and you've got links to all of our Twitter handles, all of our socials, all the other places that we've mentioned in shout outs, even on previous ones, because now they've added the new feature that you can actually click them and go to those things straight away. Fantastic. Well done.
Sweet.
Well done, iTunes. You've done something right for a change. Yes, we like it.
Hooray.
With that, go back through the other episodes and click everyone that we've had on and be friends with them and, you know, show them love and that. Right, cool. Where can they find you, Sam?
You can find me on Twitter at samspade_UK. And then, like I always say, all my old YouTube videos and stuff are up on Sam Spade Gaming on YouTube and at Sam Spade Gaming on Twitter as well. So you could go find those little bits and pieces there.
I'm going to keep trying to convince you.
And where can they find you?
Trying, but it's not going to happen, is it?
No, probably not. We'll see what the future holds. But where can people find you, Monsieur Gourney?
Monsieur Gournay. You can find me at Gourney7789 on Twitter, on Facebook, and on YouTube. YouTube has been crazy this month. Seriously, and last month.
I can imagine.
I did a Easter egg Pokemon Go thing for Halloween, end of Halloween.
Oh, nice.
And it was literally just to show off like the music, that the music was from the previous games, from Red, Blue, and Yellow, and all that jazz, from Lavender Town. So I did like a 20-second video, right? It was literally just a quick record, because I figured you could record from iPhones now directly, so from any app or anything. So I was like, I thought I'd give it a go. Mm-hmm. I did that. Uploaded it, and it's now on 3,500 views. I don't know why.
Oh, my God. Oh, my word. Wow. That's amazing. Well done.
It's crazy. I don't know why. So I'm actually now less than 1,000 views away from 10,000 views altogether on my channel. And I'm like, this is immense. What? I've also
God.
Here's the best bit, though. I've hit 100 subscribers on the dot.
Oh, you legend. Well done.
I'm so happy about it. It's done so well. And I've literally done barely anything in the last couple of weeks. So it's just ridiculous. So I will be uploading some more videos very soon. I've got a funny Faster Than Light game playthrough I did. I actually use your name and Mr. Gibbo's name within the game as well, because you can rename the pilots and the crew. So expect to see that very soon, within the next couple. Well,
I better not
week.
Die. I tell you this now.
Spoilers.
Oh God, darn it! You can't even keep me alive in space.
Man, sorry. I'll have to revive you somehow. I'll have to rename you as a space alien or something. I don't know. Yes, so anyway, you can also find our good friend Mr. Gibbo on the internet at Ace Gibbo on Twitter. I believe he is the same on YouTube as well. Matt also has some articles he's put out on... what's the website called? I can't remember what the website's called. I'm really forgetting things tonight. I don't know why. I'm just like, my mind's all over the place today. It's literally many things going on.
Mr.
Gibbo... He was writing for VG Tribune and Ninty Prime, but VG Tribune is where his article is for his games of 2017. He spent a lot of time on it. He's done 3,500 words in this one article, and I don't know how many people have actually read it or anything. So if you get a chance, go on his Twitter page. It's his pinned tweet on his Twitter page, and go and check out his article and see what he thinks. At Ace Gibbo. So ACEGI. BBO, so that's Ace Gibbo. And on that note, I think that's everything. It's good to be back. Happy 2018 to everyone. I hope you have a very successful one. I hope you get all the achievements in all the games. I hope you complete everything. I hope you have a very, very fun time and enjoy everything. And I hope you continue listening, of course. So.
Yes, we'd love for you to come back and listen again.
Yeah, we'll try to be a bit more regular. We say that every time. We always end up being like 3 months later on. Okay, well, we'll see you next month, possibly. So for now, there's some music in the background somewhere. I don't know what it is. I'll choose something and you'll figure out what it is. If you let me know on Twitter what you think it is. And if you have no
idea... If you can guess what it is, you get a special star.
You get a special star. Cool, it's playing in the background now. And that is it. Goodbye, ciao for now, happy gaming.
And happy gaming.
Happy gaming. Ace Gibbo's a nerd. Skeptical about whether my laptop will decide to just turn itself off. So,
okay.
I've had a couple of problems the last couple of days where I've been playing games and all of a sudden it just decides, nah, I'll just do a reset. So,
have you been checking the memory and stuff? Or
that's probably what it is, to be honest. I need to sort of resort my stuff out. But other than that, I think we should be okay, I think. So, I don't think it will actually die. It's just like where it's high memory usage. I've been playing a lot of Civ and stuff, and it's just sort of didn't like it. I don't think so.
Oh no.
Yeah, I think my laptop just decided that it didn't want to check things. It was weird.
Nah.
I'm just gonna close like every program that isn't Skype and recorder, because that might just like help out a bit, maybe.
Maybe just a bit.
Yeah. Did you listen to the one with me and Matt did in the pub?
No, I didn't. I shall have to at some point.
It didn't actually sound too bad, to be honest. I was expecting it to be a lot worse than it was. So, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but...
Public places can be tricky.
Yes. But it was interesting and it was quite fun, so... Yeah. Okay. Are you ready, Samuel?
I'm ready, but before we begin, what is the rundown of this particular podcast?
I'm just going to wing it and hope for the best.
You're going to wing it? Oh, dear.
Up here for thinking, down there for dancing, as they say.
Never heard that one, but...
Never heard that one?
No.
Oh, there you go. You learn something new every day.
I'll
we'll go from there, shall we? Okay. What's the right? Okay. Yeah, I know. It's just been so long. I'm just like, okay, we'll just try and do something. Okay. No, do it again.
You don't know the way.
Yes, I do.
Do you know the way?
I know the way.
You have to have